I spent a lot of time thinking unfruitfully about how we're going to change our current situation. This is Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. It's May. It's May 9th, 2022 in the evening. And I've come back, I keep coming back to one conclusion, and that's to obey the Great Commission. There's something called propaganda out there. Propaganda, the root word for propaganda, is to propagate. What are we supposed to propagate? You and I, as members of the church, as members of the individual, invisible body of Jesus Christ, those of us that have been individually converted to faith in Jesus Christ and been born again, we are commanded, not suggested, we are commanded to open up our mouth and speak. And that includes writing. Remember, all of the scriptures that were written since Jesus Christ rose from the dead were as a result of somebody writing. Somebody sat down with a pen and parchment and they wrote something out. But what we're supposed to do, you know, I keep looking to your, you know, what's the magic? What's the magic? What's going to magically change all this? And I keep coming back to the Great Commission. And by the Great Commission, I don't mean a sudden outpouring of the Holy Ghost, although that would be great. That would be fantastic. I mean simply going through the basic mechanics of opening up our mouth and speaking the truth. Propaganda is when you propagate something, you propagate ideas. You're going to propagate lies, or you're going to propagate the truth. Now, if the truth is not out there, darkness fills this void. If the truth is not out there, lies fill the void. And we live in a world full of lies. And Satan is freaking out. The Satan seed is freaking out. And they're doing everything they can to shut down truth and light. That's why you have a government disinformation board. And if every Christian opened up their mouth and flooded the world with the Holy Scriptures and the truth, hey, the darkness would diminish. And now they're terrified of this. And that's why they're threatening people, because they speak the truth. You're going to lose your job. You're going on a list. Government disinformation board. FBI shows up because you're a soccer mom and you think you have a right to have input into your child's education. It's threats and intimidation. It's not any different than what you saw 2,000 years ago with the disciples while Christ was alive, and with the apostles and the Christians after Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's the same spirit. It's the same evil spirit. They're not afraid of people propagating darkness. They're afraid of people propagating light. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ described people by and large as sheep. And he says, these are sheep without a shepherd. Man, they're lost. They have no idea which way to go or what to do, and they need help. And the only way they're going to get help is if the preachers open up their mouths and preach, and that includes every single Christian. The reason darkness pervades the world is because there's an absence of light. It's just there naturally. So this is something that we can overcome the world with in every. There's nothing that can stop the light. Once the light goes on, you can't stop the light. The darkness cannot stop the light. But we need, you go to a rock concert, right, and the lights are out, and everybody turns on their Bic lighter. It's pretty cool. Been a long time since I've been to one of those, I'll tell you that. But it doesn't matter how dark it is. When the light turns on, the light's there. And in a Christian society, you've got so many people speaking the truth, speaking what's right, speaking what's out of the Holy Scriptures, that the darkness is overwhelming and goes away. Doesn't mean they're not going to kick and scream against it. We live in a world where the narrative is controlled by half a dozen major media conglomerations. Disney's one of them. They own not just Disneyland, but all the Disney movies, the Disney TV channels, ESPN. They probably even got a couple news channels in there too. And the big, the MSNBCs and the CNNs. And they control the narrative. And if it's not within the narrative, if it's not within their control parameters, it's not published. They don't want it out there. So our job really is to seize the initiative from the controllers of the narrative. Of course, this is why they're upset with Elon Musk. And I'm not saying Elon Musk is the savior. I'm not saying that even remotely. What I'm saying is they're so used to controlling everything that even some guy comes along like Elon Musk and they freak out. Their heads explode. They have a meltdown. Oh, no, we're the ones, and they've said it openly. They've said it on TV. We're the ones that are supposed to control what people think. They've said this openly to their own audience. And if he's out there doing his thing, how are we going to control what people think? They're open about it. And we need to overwhelm the airwaves, overwhelm the internet, overwhelm the Twitters and the Gabs and the Facebooks with the Holy Ghost truth. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously on the internet. Get out there and turn the light on. And when they start screaming because they don't like the light, look, you know you're doing something right. Go write out some scriptures that are unpopular. Put them on the internet and listen to them scream. But it's the holy scriptures. The Bible says the word goes forth. It does not return void. It doesn't return void. The word of God does not return void. And it, you know, it's you know, your little kid gets an owie and you put some medicine on it and he screams because it's going in there and it's killing all the bacteria and all the bad germs. That's all this is. You got your teenagers laying in bed at 11:30 in the morning and you go in there and turn the light and they start screaming. They're fine. The teenagers are fine. They don't want the light on. And when we get out there, collectively and individually, we start turning that light on. Oh my God, they just have a fit. And that's how we know we're doing the right thing. And I would rather have 10 million people with little Bic lighters than two or three people up there with big spotlights. Because you can take out the big spotlights. You can take out the Donald Trumps. You can take out the Elon Musks. But it's hard to shut down all those Bic lighters out there. This is my vision. This is what I see. Overwhelm them with the truth, with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not a truncated gospel. Not a gospel where it says, oh, you must be born again and Jesus loves you and he forgives you for all of your sins. Boom, full stop. Even though that's true, the fact of the matter is they control 99% of the narrative out there to such a degree that when you bring that truncated message to them, they don't even know what you're talking about. They have no idea what you're talking about. Because they assume that evolution is true. They assume God is an invention of mankind. They assume there's no right or wrong. And the foundations have been ripped out. And you start talking about God, you're like, God, what? In a Christian society, the narrative emerges from the Holy Scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Very simple. The Holy Scriptures give you light and truth. Very, very simple. Nobody questions that. They may not live by it. They may not agree with it. But they're like, yeah, that's kind of the default position. In England, in 1600, 1700. It's just, of course God created the heavens. Of course the Bible is the light of mankind. Even if you didn't serve God, even if you didn't believe necessarily in God, you just, you know, that was kind of the default narrative that controlled the conversation. We have to get back to that. Now, it would be great if some of you out there became the next CNN or Time Magazine or New York Times or whatever it is. But we're starting all over, and we're going to have to set up new Yales and Harvards or take them back over again. Those are literally the cathedrals of the cult we live in, and those are the prophets and high priests of the cult. But guess what? Elijah challenged them. Remember that? Elijah challenged the cult leaders. He went up and he challenged them openly. And we saw a great victory. And the evil priest met an appropriate end. But it takes people willing to stand up and open up their mouth and speak. We're not going to vote our way out of this. That's not possible. It's not possible to vote our way out of this. When they control the votes, they control the count. Anybody can vote now. Anybody can vote. Anybody can vote multiple times. You want to vote five times? Sure. 10? Sure. You're not a citizen? Doesn't matter. Come on in and vote. And even if that wasn't enough, they just, you know, flick a couple of little buttons in there and said, oh, there's another 100,000 votes for so-and-so. And then they come out and they announce it because the press is one with the government now. The press is one with the government. I mean, look at Jen Psaki. She's going to go to work for who? MSNBC. She came out of the, you know, quote-unquote private sector, a news organization. She goes and works for Biden. Now she's back into another news organization, making the big bucks. Her replacement is intimately involved with somebody else in one of these big news conglomerates. They're all together. It's all one. There's no longer line of demarcation between the press and the government as far as the mainstream media. And those of us out there, and I'm one of them, I'm not saying I'm part of the press, I'm another voice. I'm just another voice. And oh my God, they have a fit that somebody else is permitted to speak. That's why Obama comes along and demanding censorship. Demanding that the government shut down other voices. And eventually that goes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive to the world. The light is offensive to darkness. And unfortunately, the church has tried to truncate the gospel of Jesus Christ so as to not offend the darkness. To such an extent that the message is because, oh, Jesus loves you. Okay, great. Next. And they throw up the lesbian flag up in front of their church, the rainbow thing. And it doesn't make any – the salt has lost its flavor in society. It's going to hell. Literally, everybody's – the generation's going to hell. Church thought they could, you know, marketing 2.0 for Jesus Christ. Stay in the closet, Jesus. We're gonna rebrand you, make you kinder, gentler. Done absolutely no good. No good whatsoever. Then you got a few churches come along, and they blow things up. There was that one church, I don't know where they were, somewhere in the flyover country. And they were protesting against homosexuality. Oh, my God, everybody has a fit about it. Why are you having a fit about it? Now your kid goes to school, grade school, and they're teaching Mary has two mommies. And jamming that LGBTQ stuff down your throat, Christian. You spent more effort denouncing that church that spoke out against homosexuality than you will today against the LGBTQ agenda. This is our own fault. This is our own fault. Well, I don't want to be like them. They're homophobic. They're homophobic. They're transphobic. They're queerphobic. They're intolerant. We don't believe in hate is not a family value. So we run into the arms of the world. James 4:4, friendship the world is enmity with God. But we've created, man, this goes into the whole theme I've talked about for a couple years now. We've created our own traditions of men that say we're supposed to love the world and be loved by the world. And we're absolutely no good. So if we're not voting our way out of it, look, the number one thing we have to do is open up our mouths. Let's go back 2,000 years. But the church goes and overturns the pagan nature of the Roman Empire itself. And where the Romans ruled basically the vast portions of Europe, that becomes Christendom. The kingdoms of the world becomes the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. There shall be no end to the increase of his government. That's Christian civilization. That's the Holy Scriptures. That's prophecy, if you want that. You want eschatology? There's no end to the increase of his government. Isaiah chapter 9. But we got to break out of this silent stuff. And like I said, I've been as guilty as the next guy. We want to overwhelm the airwaves. Radio, television, YouTube, Facebook, blogs, podcasts, emails, Twitter, Jitter, Instagram, whatever it is. I don't care how many strikes they give you. Make it your goal to get on the enemy's list. Look at me, folks. I got banned from Instagram because, you know, I posted a picture that had the scriptures of Jesus Christ in it. That's, you know, you get some bragging rights for that. But no, we're too good for that. No, we don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. Well, I have to work with these people. And we got all the excuses. I mean, Judas Iscariot had the same excuse. Come on, folks. He had the same excuse. It was a rational decision. And too many times we make Judas Iscariot seem like an irrational man. He was completely rational. He was completely and utterly rational. It made sense. What is this Jesus guy doing? I realize he's got some weird stuff going on. But now he's saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And you've got the entire establishment saying, this guy's wrong, this guy's wrong, this guy's wrong. And Judas says, you know what? I don't know why I'm doing this. And he goes to him and says, look, got a little carried away there, brothers, but yeah, I'm with you. He said, cool. You know, we're just trying to help you. Just trying to help you, Judas. Just trying to help you see the right way. We're doing a little intervention in your life. It's a little friendly intervention. I'm so glad. All right. Speaking of making mistakes, I took a little bit of literary license with the story about money usage, about the 10 minus. So I have to go back and spend a little more time on that. This is out of Luke chapter 19. So while they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. So he, Jesus, said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself. He's talking about himself, of course. And then returned, and he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Now, hold that thought. We're going to come back to verse 27 and follow up on that. It's almost like this was inserted out of order, but nothing's out of order with the Holy Scriptures. Verse 15, when he returned, when the master comes back, when Jesus Christ comes back, after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, master, your mina has made 10 minas more. He said to him, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a little, you will be in authority over 10 cities. Second one came and said, master, your mina, master, has made 5 minas. He said to him also, you are to be over 5 cities. And another came saying, master, here's your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you were an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you reap that which you did not sow. And Jesus said to him, or he said to him, by your own words I will judge you, you worthless slave. Ooh. Did you not know that I am an exacting man, taking up which I did not lay down, and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. They said to him, master, he has 10 minas already. I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from him who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. And then we go on to verse 27. But these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. All right, so that is the proper reading of that parable. We're all given one mina. Mina, mina. Maybe that's a lifetime. We're given a life. What are you going to do with it? You're going to give them a 5-fold return, a 10-fold return, a no return. And the one guy, he just said, look, you know, here's my life. Yeah, I lived my life. You know, I didn't waste it, but I lived my life. Got nothing to show for it other than what you gave me. The guy says, okay, well, we're going to take that mine away from you and give it to the guy that has 10. And we don't want to be that way. We want to be able to give it a return, whether we make, you know, 2 or 3 or 5 or 8 or 10 or 20 minus back for him. And the second thing that I want to point about this parable is that there was people that hated the master, hated Jesus Christ, did not want Jesus to reign over them. Verse 27, but these enemies of mine, Jesus Christ said, these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. There's lots of people, and they'll vocally say it, they hate Jesus Christ. Certainly saw that 2,000 years ago. They did not want Jesus Christ to reign over them. Jesus Christ says, bring those people here and slay them in my presence. Now, I know that sounds harsh, but the only reason that sounds harsh is because we've been introduced to Jesus Christ through Jesus Christ 2.0 in the rebranding and the remarketing program, where somebody made him a kinder, gentler Jesus Christ so he's not offensive to anybody. I mean, think about it. These enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. That's the red letter. That's Jesus Christ speaking. That's got to offend somebody. Another little offensive part of this is some people that had more were given even more on top of that. And this is where you get the, you know, equity and inclusion and equality people coming out saying, oh my God, you can't do that. That's not fair. That's unfair. We need to have equity of outcomes. This whole, all the political correct stuff, all the woke stuff is designed to generate hatred towards Jesus Christ. It's designed to produce people like in verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. That's the what the woke culture is. That's what the politically correct culture is. Ginning up hatred amongst the citizens who will then say, we don't want Jesus Christ to rule over us. We want equity of outcome. And we want what we want. We don't want to be told what to do. Don't tell me I'm a boy or a girl. I'll be whatever I want to be. So it's all designed. There's a spiritual root to all of it. It's the whole thing that I've talked about in bloodandfaith.com since forever, about inversion. So he's going to take from the one who only has one and strip it away and give it to the one who has 10. And then he's going to say, hey, all these enemies of mine who didn't want me to reign over them, bring them here. Bring them here and slay them in my presence. And with that, we're going to get back on track. They're not setting up a government disinformation board because they don't sense a problem. They're setting it up because they sense a problem. They sense that there's the potential of them losing control of the narrative, which is good. This is good news. Look, when the Amorites rolled back into the valley where the Hebrews lived with their 900 iron chariots, yeah, everybody's kind of freaked out, but it's like, you know what? They wouldn't be here unless they thought we might rebel. I mean, let's try to look at the positive side of this, okay? They wouldn't be stealing elections unless they thought there was a threat that we might vote wrong. They wouldn't be threatening the lives of Supreme Court justices unless they felt there was a threat that they might rule incorrectly. So all these things, you know, the shaking and the panic on the left, it's not necessarily a sign of their strength. It's the sign of their utter panic. Remember, Gideon goes and he sneaks into the camp of the Ites. I forget which Ite it was. Amorite, Malachite, Girgashite, whatever. And they're quivering in fear. They're talking to each other, oh my God, have you heard of Gideon, the man of God? He's coming after us. And they're terrified. Gideon's going, you're terrified. I'm terrified. I'm the one that's supposed to be terrified. And here we're looking around, oh, we're so scared. They are terrified. And they're manifesting, and their demons are manifesting, and they're out there threatening the lives of Supreme Court justices. They're setting up a government disinformation board. They don't even care about the elections or the fake news, and they pile more deeper and higher. And you got some little dude who's got a blog or a podcast or a Twitter feed, and it's like a girl that sees a snake on the ground and she starts screaming, having a panic attack. Honey, it's just a garter snake. Okay, and you and I are those little garter snakes slithering around and they're having a panic attack. Courage begets courage. All right, but you know, when I started doing my thing here on the internet, my personal blog, personal podcast, you know, I just said to myself, you know what? I just want to change one mind. Just one mind. Just one. I just want to change one heart, one attitude. I don't even mean that they have some glorious conversion. I just want to change the thinking of one person, that they wake up and say, you know what? I don't agree with everything he's saying, but there's something to what he's saying. There's something there. That's it. That's it, man. That's it. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Let me just adjust the thinking of one person on the planet for the rest of my life. That's all I want. Because right now, I'm not doing a dang's worth of good to anybody on the planet. As much as I think I know. And yeah, my mind said, this is, you know, you're silly. There's a lot of reasons not to. A lot of reasons not to. Judas Iscariot had a lot of reasons not to follow Jesus. And finally, he just came to his senses and said, I'm stupid. What am I doing? And so he had a little chat with the authorities, got a little reward money on the side. He didn't get rich, but he got, you know, something, a couple bucks. Didn't participate in hurting Jesus, hitting him. Just greeted him the way he always should. Gave him a kiss. Simple, easy. Betrayal's easy. Betrayal's simple. Man with the 10 talents, 5 talents, 1 talent. He didn't have to go out there and go down to the gambling bin and spend his talent on gambling or women or wine. He didn't even lose the talent. He just kind of just gave it back to God on the judgment day. Look, that's my story. That's my story. That's me. I'm the dude with 1 talent. And somewhere along the line, I woke up and I said, oh my God, it'll be worth it. Just one person. Are you a guy or gal out there in the same conundrum, the same situation? You know, you got your little talent in the bank where it's safe. So did the guy with 1 talent. It's not like he went, you know, complete. He just, you know, it's safe, man. It's safe. He didn't throw it away. He didn't go down to the local, you know, whatever, palace of ill repute and spend it there. Some people do that. Some people do that. But not you. Not me. But I kept it safe. I said, no, man. You know I'm a hard guy. You should have done something with this. So I woke up, and if I can get one other person to wake up, I want to wake up. I had an article written about me. Well, I've had more than one. There's a bunch out there. I can't remember. Anyway, and you know, my response to this is, and here's literally my response. If whatever I'm saying will lead to one conversion of Jew or Gentile to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's worth all the trouble in the world. And one of these outlets actually published my response. Like, amen. Could I have done it better? Sure. You know, I know somebody. This person's smarter than me, wiser than me, can do things better than me. And, you know, I'm not that smart, I'm not that wise, and I can't do things that well. But by God, I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to do something. And just me, where I come from, it's better to try to do something and maybe, you know, and anybody that's got kids knows this is true. You got kids? Here's the deal. Hey, Johnny. Hey, Susie. You want to help me make some cookies? Yeah. All right. Let's make some cookies. And Johnny puts in 2 cups of sugar instead of 1. What are you going to do? Get mad at him? Johnny's out there trying to learn, man. He's trying to help out. Maybe that's the way our Father looks at us. I started teaching my boys how to cook on a barbecue. Here's some meat. Go cook. Huh? Yeah, go start cooking. I said, son, don't worry about it. I burned 100 steaks before I could figure out how to barbecue right. Huh? I said, oh, yeah. You think I just showed up and could cook a perfect steak? I'm not like these other people that, you know, read 2 cookbooks before I attempt something. I just go out there and get amongst it. Well, but I ruined the steak. Doesn't matter. You might ruin the next one. Might ruin the one after that. Might burn some chicken. But you know what? You keep going. Eventually, you'll figure stuff out. But you're not going to get there unless you start. Preaching to myself, folks. I'm preaching to myself. And I want to get one more person out there. One more person who said, you know what? I'm going to try to cook a steak today. I'm just going to try this. Let's see what happens. Yeah, you might burn it. Yeah, you might, you know, maybe you get on a list. Maybe you get a strike. I'm just saying, we all have to get busy. This world will not change by itself. People have to turn on the light. And there's a good portion of the church that either wants to fly away or have somebody else come down and do the work for them. This little podcast, my little blog, it may not be much. But, you know, you got to start somewhere, right? If I get one other person to go out there and do this thing, I had somebody wrote me a while back. No, that was a couple years ago. A gentleman has passed away, a wonderful guy. And I was writing on something. I was writing on immigration. And I said something to the effect that the armed cherubim, the cherubim with the flaming sword, was the first armed border guard in history. And it blew his mind. He's just like, oh, my God. It never even crossed my mind. Adam and Eve get kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They leave. God stations an armed guard at the border of Eden. So people couldn't get back in and eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever, fallen man. He's like, oh my God, it just blew his mind. And that's what I mean. Look, I'm just trying to change one little mind somewhere, someplace. And if we get a billion buzzing bumblebees of truth out there, we're going to have an effect. You want to know, is the Savior going to come and save us? The Savior lives inside of you, man. He lives in your heart. He's given you His Holy Scriptures. He's given you His Holy Spirit. The power is in the power of the tongue, opening up our mouths to speak. And there's many a day, and I was like, what is it going to take to turn this thing around? Hey, I'm doing all that I can do. And I know it has an effect. I know it has an effect. Sometimes I can't see it. Sometimes I get depressed. Any preachers out there that get depressed because they're trying to do their thing and church doesn't grow or people don't get saved? Yeah, it's tough. Don't stop. Keep on going. All right, that's it for now. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com.